keep on going. How can you do it?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
About this, how black folks pay more than white folk in taxes in the past. And how did that happen?
Well, I think we have to realize how the tax codes were set up. And a tax code, although it does not explicitly benefit one race over the other, yet historical racism has continued to have a racial prejudice and discrimination through both public policy and private acts. So that has helped to shape what we've determined, how we determine household taxable liabilities, such as their income, wealth, and consumption. So what that really means is that because of the laws, there are ways around the way you implement certain tax strategies that will benefit one party over the other. Although it may not have been intentional, but it is there, so we have to deal with it. So those are the issues and why that some people can pay less tax than the other. Second part is that if we don't know what to do when we pick up rental properties or anything else, meaning that we buy them, we have to understand the ramifications that go with that, meaning that there are tax codes that specifically address the types of expenditures that you can write off that relate to those properties. And one of the big write-offs for properties, rental properties, is really depreciation expense, which means that you can depreciate the value of the property over a life of 27 and a half years or 30 years, depending on the type of property that it may be. And secondly, you also get to write off all of the other cleaning and maintenance and improvements that you will do to that property. So there's a lot of things that can be written off, and those are the things that we need to make sure that people, when they're buying or considering buying rental property or real estate, that they understand that there are benefits to them that the Internal Revenue Code, the tax code, actually support.
Can we do, and I'm not sure if we can do this or not, but if we have a couple making $2,000 a month, or a single making $2,000 a month, and they own a home that's worth $150,000, and they pay $1,000 a month, and $900 a month in interest. And the other couple pays $900 in rent. The couple that owns their own home paying $900 in interest on their mortgage, how much more, or is there a way to determine how much more they will save in taxes if everything is even?
Well, I think what's the issue is really the income level that you said, but let's just take income out of it and just let's say these are the expenses. So if you have the mortgage interest, not only would you deduct the mortgage interest, but you would also include the property tax that went with that, and also your state income tax that would be withheld on your W-2 if you're working for an employer. So if those numbers in the aggregate is less than the standard deduction, then it will not benefit you because it would be more advantageous for you to take the standard deduction. But if you were single or head of household, those numbers that you're speaking of would probably exceed the standard deduction. And if it did, then it would be more advantageous for you to then itemize. But a person who's renting would not have any benefits. The only thing that they could take would be just the standard deduction. But the other part of that is the person that owns, has the house or owns the home Also, they may be able to take less deductions or more deductions depending on whether they're itemizing or not, but they still have increased value in the home because the equity in the home grows, and depending on the market, the house will increase in value. So when you walk away from the home, or 5 years from now you decide you want to leave the home or sell it, you actually walk away with something in your pocket as opposed to rent, where you just walk away with a bunch of receipts.
Now, if you let's say you have, let's say you have, you make $5,000 and leave that other, but at the end of the month, you, after you pay everything and it comes, and you're renting, and you decided that you want to go out and buy an investment property, and the interest on your investment property is $900, and the taxes are $1,100, you put a couple of $100 in this year for improvement. Does that do anything to help you with taxes?
Yeah, I think, well, it depends. If you're talking about your personal residency, it may not help you a lot in that perspective, but if you're saying that it's rental property, then all of those expenditures that you have for the rental property then would be deductible. So that's not, you know, so that's a whole different segment than a person owning their personal home. So your personal residency is different, because the only thing that you would be able to write off there would be just the, if your expenses for property tax, mortgage interest exceeds the standard deduction for whatever filing status that you have, then it would be advantageous for you. Otherwise, it would not. And then if it's not a situation where you can itemize, then I would definitely look at the rental property, which you call the investment property, because all of those amounts would be deductible and excluded from AGI, which is adjusted gross income.
Property a good investment.
Oh, yeah. Well, from a tax perspective, I mean, that's the best of the best of all worlds. I mean, if you have investment property, the reason that you would want it there is because you can write off all the expenditures that relate to it. And that's usually going to be a advantage to you. So when you have things like that, that's why when people talk about the Internal Revenue Tax Code, they're saying that there are, you know, disparities between races or cultures, and it's because one is able to utilize the tax code to their benefits where others are not, because they don't have the income or the wealth or the knowledge to implement something that will benefit them.
You know, I in this environment today, is it best to have residential housing, or is it best to have commercial property?
Well, I think it depends on the individual and what you're more comfortable managing. So when you get into residential, let's just say if you had, you know, an apartment building or something like that, obviously it's going to take a lot more to maintain, and you're also having, you know, if it's 50 units or 100 units, whatever, how many units you have, you know, you have turnover in that, and you're always trying to accommodate, you know, 50 or 100 people, that's how many units you have. But if it's commercial property, it could be one legal entity or one dwelling, or you only deal with one person. So the write-offs are going to be equal as far as the amount of expenses that you're going to have. It's just how much time do you want to spend managing the property or having someone else manage it. So I would think, for me, if I had a choice between commercial and residential, I would definitely go towards the commercial, because I don't want to spend the man hours that it would take to manage 100 people where I could just manage one person.
You know, back in the 80s, and I'm sure in back in the, and I'm sorry, 1990s, before we had the collapse in the market, 2008 was the big year. But back during that time, 1990, 2000, 2010, there were these gurus, quote-unquote gurus, riding around telling people that to buy investment property, even if you have a negative, because you could, a negative monthly, because you could make it up and your tax deduction. What is your advice about that?
No, that's exactly true. I mean, most people who go in, you know, when you have taxable income, or if you have a W-2 and you have this income and you're paying tax on a consistent basis, you know, every year, quarterly, or whatever, how the increments fall for you, people venture out to diversify and get into something else like the investment properties, because what they're hoping for is with the depreciation deduction that income would be a negative number for them, which means that they would show that on paper that they're losing money. So when they're losing that money, that's a flow through to your personal tax return. So that loss will reduce your AGI, which is adjusted gross income. And then when it adjusts that, it puts you into a possibly different or lower tax bracket. So that's why people do it. And that's why you would want to invest, because you have advantages for doing it. So if it wasn't something in the tax law that was an advantage for people to do it, they wouldn't do it. So that's why we get into the disparities of what's happened in the tax code, because some people know how to use those things to their benefit, where other groups may not know how to use them or have the resources to buy buy those items so that they can get the benefits of the tax code.
But let's say I'm a family, I got a house, and I want to buy a piece of investment property, and for somebody in that situation, when you got a family, I can understand buying a property that you can get depreciation and that kind of thing. But is it wise where you have to put money in every month to maintain that property? I mean money as far as the mortgage versus what you're taking in and rent?
Well, that's not the, you don't want it to be in that situation. Sometimes it happens, it could be one of those things that you can go in and it could be a lucrative deal in the beginning. Let's just say you have three tenants and everybody's paying, then it could be lucrative for you. But if the tenants stop paying, now you have to dish money out. So you got to take money out of your pocket to put it in. So you never know what the outcome is going to be. But some people, if you have the resources and you feel that you got the investment property for a deal and over time it's going to appreciate in value, it may not be a bad investment for you. But if you're starting out, you don't want to start out in negative territory. I'm not talking just paper negative. I'm talking about actual negative.
Yeah, exactly. Paper negative is different than actual negative.
Right.
Paper negative you can use in your advantage. Actual negative, unless you can really afford it, it's not going to be a good deal for you. How can somebody reach out to Dr. Melvin Green?
Well, you can reach me on the web at www.melvingreen.com. That's MelvinGreene. Or you can always email me at melvin.melvingreen.com, or you can reach me on, if you want to at least see more of what I do, you can reach me on We Dream TV on the Money Green Show.
We thank you, sir, and give us that TV again.
It's We Dream TV, and it's the Money Green Show.
Thank you, sir, very much for your information, and we look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Okay, thank you, sir, and have a great month. February is Black History Month, so let's celebrate it and continue to make Black history.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.